The following is a presentation of the Black Hollywood Live Network, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. Hollywood, redefined. From Los Angeles, California, streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is Black Hollywood Live, The Beat. Featuring the week's roundup and commentary on music news. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood, redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host of Black Hollywood Live, The Beat.
Hello, it's me.
Turn up.
What?
What up, y'all? It's your boy DJ Jesse Jin here in the studio for Black Hollywood Live's The Beat. You are listening to Dawn Richards' cover of Adele.
I love her.
Hello. I got Poppy Watts in the building.
What it do, y'all? What it do? What it do in the building? Let's go.
Sir Cameron Penny.
Cameron Penny, Instagram at Cameron Penny. Holler back, follow back.
And we're very blessed to have this very familiar face.
Yes, sir.
Blessings. You know, you might have heard his voice.
Blessings on blessings.
What is it, 3-time Grammy nominated artist?
On,
you know, I mean, is it, how many times has your album's gone number one on the charts? I mean, I'm just saying, we got Sir Dietrich Haddon in the building.
It's good to be hanging out with y'all,
sir.
The brethren. Thank you for allowing me in the brotherhood today.
Yes, so, I need some forgiving. I need some.
Well, yeah, that's a different conversation.
Confess
different
all your sins. What did you do last night? With who?
With who?
What did you do?
No, we'll get into that. I'll break it down later.
Okay, that's for sure.
You lucked out Queen in here. He's lucked out.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Shout out to Queen. We love you, boo. All right. Before we get into your new album, Masterpiece.
Yes, sir.
Some stuff happened this week. And we got to talk about it.
Okay.
Number one being Rihanna.
Oh, y'all going to put me in the hot seat.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Oh, help me, Lord. Give me the wisdom, Jesus.
Mm. He gonna deliver it. All right. So Rihanna came out to find out, well, there was a little clip that's alluding that Rihanna might be dropping her anti-album Friday.
Oh, wow.
They're saying it might stream on Tidal. No one really knows. I'm kind of thinking, I don't know if the title thing's going to work, but I'm kind of thinking she just inked that deal with Samsung. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if I might see something pop up on my phone on Friday.
She following the footsteps of Beyonce, right?
Yeah, it sounds like
Jay-Z. All in her ear. You know how that goes.
Yeah. That's a good move, I think. Mm. I think it's a good move. I mean, you cut out the middleman, you make the money directly, you know. Right. But I'm trying to figure out what's the anti about. As long as she ain't anti-Christ,
right.
I'm cool with it.
I feel it. I feel it. Nah, that's real, man.
I'm cool with it.
I'm going to have message to hear a couple singles before I purchase the album.
You know what
I mean?
Man.
But shout out to Rihanna. It's also interesting because I guess Chris Brown's supposed to drop. We've been talking about him releasing his album. He's supposed to drop it on Friday. Mm-hmm. But there's been no pre-order talk. It's been kind of still a little bit quiet. And I'm wondering if his camp is nervous about this Rihanna situation and being like, well, before we drop the album, let's see what this girl gonna do.
Yeah, I'm definitely sure.
Because maybe she like anti-Chris Brown. When he dropping his album?
Yeah, I'm sure there's probably some stuff behind the scenes about who's gonna drop first and who don't want to embarrass who. But Rihanna's fans and even people like myself, we've been waiting for Rihanna to drop.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's been in New York for a long time now, so I'm sure she got Jay and all the right proper production and writers, so I'm excited about the album.
Well, bitch better have my money. I mean, Rihanna wasn't performing at the American Music Awards, but J-Lo was. She hosted the show, she opened the show, and I just have to say,
J-Lo.
J-Lo came. She done came for all the girls. She said, Nicki Minaj, Beyonce, who? Like, let me just, I need y'all to understand my love don't cost a thing. And I need y'all to understand that I've been playing this song for years now, and I'm the queen bee.
Age ain't nothing but a number, man.
46 years old, booty.
46.
Fat.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
stomach
anybody, flat.
Anybody married here?
No.
I can't talk about a booty, okay? I'm a married man. Okay. But y'all can talk about it.
Okay, well, her booty, when she turned around doing Uptown Funk. Oh my gosh, J-Lo. I mean, my Puerto Rican princess Poppy, mommy. Ooh, all that.
She didn't get that altered or nothing?
All that.
It's all that authentic.
You know, hey, I don't know. I can't keep up with the
times. You know, folks, we can
have altered these days. I can't keep up with the times.
Augmented.
Speaking of altering, Kirk Franklin been in the news.
Kirk!
Yeah. He,
my homie!
Promoting his new album, Losing My Religion. And in a interview, came out to have a conversation about homophobia in the church. And a quote that he came out to say that's causing a little bit of controversy is that he said he apologizes for the hurtful and painful things that have been said about people in the church in which they were used and embarrassed. We have not treated them like people. The Bible is not a book to attack gay people. Twitter kind of took to this. Some people took offense. Some people applauded him for it. It's interesting to me. The reason I brought this topic on is because obviously we talk a lot of homophobia in hip-hop, homophobia in just music in general. And it's interesting for me because my foundation, being a gay male, is I grew up in the church. And so I'm wondering if that homophobia in hip-hop kind of stems from an upbringing of where you're kind of told, like, certain things aren't okay, or, you know, you felt like... Like, for me, I stopped going to church because my priest told me when I got my ears pierced, oh, what, do you want to be a girl? In the middle of receiving communion, I was just like... Yeah, and I was just like... Yeah. This is the most holiest moment of the ceremony, and
sound like the deacon board in my church. They said, "Well, you bringing earrings up in here now? Yeah, what you doing?" I said, "Yes, I'm bringing earrings. Ain't got nothing to do with my relationship with God."
Right.
So yes, I'm wearing earrings. So I don't know. It's sorry you had to deal with that, man. But you know,
You know, someone like you who pushes the envelope in gospel music. What's your feel about what Kirk said in the homophobia in the church and in the black community and hip hop?
I think that you cannot judge God for what men do. You never judge God. You never stop having your relationship with God because some preacher, ignorant preacher, got up and just bashed you from the platform or made you feel less than a believer because he was unlearned. He thought that Christianity gave him a right to beat up everybody that's sitting in the room, and it's wrong. I always thought that the church was for everybody in every situation. It's like you go there to get, you know, some kind of understanding of your life. You know, that's why you go to church, you know, to try to connect to God. But you, when you go to church and you run into some ignorant individual who's who happens to be the leader of the church. Oh, y'all, you're going to hell. Oh, Lord, looking all dirty and nasty. And, you know, that kind of stuff, man, is wrong.
Yeah. Right?
Christianity gives you the right to love people wherever they are, period, you know? Now, there's some. If you are a believer, if you are a Christian, there are some things in the Bible that is against homosexuality, flat out. Okay, so if you know, that's the thing, you know, that people are dealing with, you know, but I'm the kind of guy that says I have no authority to judge anybody because none of us are perfect, and we all trying to live this life, you know what I'm saying? And I don't judge anybody, but if you're a Christian and you believe God's word, if you believe in the Bible, there are some things that will definitely call us all out on the carpet.
Right.
If you're a fornicator, it's gonna call you out. If you're an adulterer, it's gonna call you out. If you're a liar, it's gonna call you out. That's what that Bible does. That's what Christianity. That's what the Word of God does. And there's no way we can get around it. You know. But like I said, I don't judge people. I believe that as long as you got life in your body, you can make a decision that can change for the better. And you know whatever.
Well, one of the things that I want to ask is, when the Congress approved same-sex marriage, and they asked T.D. Jakes about it, and T.D. Jakes gave a great answer where he said, "I can't judge off a man's decision. This wasn't a God-given decision. This was a man's right." You know, guys and girls sat down and approved the same-sex marriage. And it wasn't from the Bible, so it goes basically what you're saying right now. We have no right as humans to make a judgment on anybody who decides what they want to decide because God didn't make the decision.
Man, you got to let people live their lives and let them have their own relationship with God and let God deal with them. I'm not anybody's judge, and no preacher on the planet is anybody's judge, and I'm not here to police you. As a man of God, I do have to show you what is actually there. I would be wrong if I didn't show you what's actually there. It's on you to decide whether you want to comply to that. You may not even believe in that. That's on you. But as a man of God, preaching the Bible, the Word of God, and I'm a Christian, I got to say, this is here, brother. Whether I like it or not, whether you like it or not, it's here. You take it from there.
Right.
And you live your life, and I will love you the same. I don't I don't. One thing I didn't like though.
DJ, I just want to move you in just so we can keep
am I going too far?
No. This is the great combo.
One thing I did not like is I was watching something on TV on BET. I think it was Love and Hip Hop Hollywood.
VH1.
Yeah, and they had Jamal Bryan on, which is my friend. Shout out to Jamal Bryan. And he was saying that, hey, I may not agree with you, but I can love you for whatever decision that you make. And it was a room full of homosexuals. It was cool, you know. But they attacked.
They attacked him.
I didn't like that. Mm. They said, no, you see, if you don't agree with my ways, yep, then I'm not that. No, you can't love me. Yes, I can love you.
Right.
Now, that's reverse. What he said, that's reverse discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
You telling me. You make your own decisions.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm still going to love you, my brother.
Right.
You make your own decision. I'm not going to, because, you know, you're a homosexual now, I can't love you. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion, man. And I think that it's good that we're putting it out here on these platforms to even speak about it. But I think I kind of agree with what you're saying. It's like no man has authority over any other man. God's telling us the way that we should live. But at the end of the day, God loves us through everything. No sin is greater than another sin. You know what I'm saying? And no... Who are we to really say? You get what I'm saying? So, at the end of the day.
How do you feel? So, one thing that I kind of struggle with and everything is, you know, when it comes to the Bible, is sex before marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've dated some virgins and I've dated some girls who are born again virgins. And
y'all gonna get me in trouble on this show. They gonna take these little clips and they gonna run with it and say, Dietrich said.
Well, we ain't putting that out there. We're not here for that.
My truth.
Yeah. I need the truth because it becomes a struggle. You living out here in Hollywood, you want to live the right way. And I meet some beautiful women who are born again, but you know you want to be in a monogamous relationship. So what's your feel about
if you have sex outside of marriage? It is considered fornication,
okay.
And in the Bible, that's considered a sin. Now I've sinned before; I had sex outside of marriage, so I'm not here to judge nobody. But when I was in sin, I knew I was in sin, and I would pray every day, Lord, help me get away from this fine woman.
just
pulling me down. You know, my thing is, I'm not going to try to justify sin if it's wrong. When you're wrong, you're just wrong. It is what it is. But by the grace of God, if you want to be better, He'll help you be better. Now I had a baby out of wedlock, so I'm not here to judge nobody.
Right.
I'm here to love people through and tell people, hey, you can turn your life around even after you had sex before marriage. You can turn your life around and make better decisions. And that's what I've done.
So just like in the Bible it says homosexuality is not good and they say sex before marriage is not good, it's just up to that man in the relationship with God.
It's between you and God, man. I can never find myself sitting in the seat of judgment because I can very well lose my life. I can very well not make it in while I'm trying to judge you.
Right.
The Bible says by this, we're going to make it in. The righteous is going to make it in by the skin of their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So the Bible says also save yourself from this untoward generation. I can't save you if I don't first save myself.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have the right to police you at all. God doesn't even police us. He gives us a word and you take it from there. You live your life. God ain't around hounding you. Say, you better not do that. You better not. You live your life.
Yeah.
But once you know the truth, it's up to you to walk in that truth.
And that's another thing. If we're not sensitive with these things, man, a lot of people may not know the truth. You don't know where these people are in their journey. Just because you're mature in your faith or mature in your journey and all this stuff, you may deal with somebody in a way that completely turns them off or turns them from God, and that's not even sent from God.
And you're really doing
God's work.
You know what I'm saying? And their blood is on your hands. If you run somebody away from God and you're supposed to be a preacher and you're doing it in the name of God, their blood is going to be on your hands. Boom. Everybody has the right to come to the house of God, in whatever state you're in, whatever it is. You're supposed to be in the house of God giving God praise. The Bible says you have a responsibility to let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Okay. Every single person. In whatever state you're in. Whatever you decide how you live your life. You got to give God praise. Period.
Yeah. Amen.
So you got a preacher up there running people, making people feel low. That's wrong. I'm not with that church. Mm. Dietrich is not. I'm not with him.
Neither am I. People. All right, so great conversation. Totally went to, woo, but you know what I mean? We had to go. But that's fine. But all right, but speaking of saved, Sean Kingston was saved recently. I don't know if y'all heard about this, but Mr. Sean Kingston was kidnapped, y'all. So he bought a watch from this jeweler, which was $225,000. He only paid $185,000 for it. The jeweler kept calling him saying, look, I got to meet up with you. Like, you got to pay this. Sean felt like the watch wasn't worth that much. He said, look, I'll meet up with you. I'll give you the watch back, but give me something that's worth $185,000 back, since that's what I paid. So he met up with the guy, and the guy took the watch, wouldn't give him anything back for it, and Sean basically sat inside the car and was like, I'm not leaving until, this is what Sean's saying, said in the police report, said, I'm not leaving until you give me whatever is worth $185,000. And so I guess apparently they drove around for a while. He ended up showing up at a police station, filling out a report on this guy. And we'll see where this story continues. Well, but I mean,
one thing kind of in the story was they met at 1:20 yeah, a.m. in an alley downtown. Who needs somebody talk about $200,000 in an alley in L.A. and downtown? Mm-hmm. You don't do that. So that's where I, when I read the article, that's where it was kind of weird to me. I mean, Sean, Poppy, what are you?
I mean, like, Sean, you know, I've had him at his best time, man. I've been at his house, all kind of stuff. I don't really know, man. I kind of reserve judgment until I really know all the facts. I try to be the type of person that, you know, until I really know what's going on. So I'm going to reserve my judgment on this one until I let it.
Would you meet in the alley with $185,000 watch?
Me personally, I would not.
At 2 o'clock in the morning in L.A.?
Sure would not. You wouldn't see me at 1:30 in the morning in any alley. All right.
I'm with Watts on that, though. I'll play the fifth on that.
Moving on. All right, so we're going to play a video for you. I want you to take a look, take a listen, and then I want your commentary afterwards. So right now we're going to play. This is Iman Shumpert featuring Teyana Taylor. The song is called Promised. And this is a very pregnant Teyana Taylor.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yes. But beautiful.
They've been having sex out of wedlock.
See?
But I ain't judging yet. Okay, what is this?
Teyana.
She on the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Get up off the flow, darling. Heartbreak, leave the heartache. So now shorty gone with that man. His car nice, his house big, and now shorty trying to make it. This is his song?
Yes. She's featured. It's like 7 minutes long. This a game I won't lose to you. When she
gon' feel. When is he gonna show her?
She gonna come. She's there pregnant, pulling the Beyonce with a pregnant belly.
Oh, she's pregnant on the video.
Boom. Iman Shumpert featuring Teyana Taylor, Promised.
Mm.
Not feeling it, Kim?
Listen, I'm a Cavs fan. You need to be getting
me
ready
too.
To get out
me
there
too.
And get LeBron this ring. We need to bring that ring to Cleveland.
Absolutely.
So, good song. I love, everybody got a passion. Everybody got a gift. They want to, you know, deliver their art any type of way.
You was not feeling this throughout the whole video. You was looking
because
mad.
Because I'm thinking, like, we try to win a ring in Cleveland, and you over here
yeah,
making
videos.
Videos.
Come on,
save that for, I will respect that video more after you got a ring on.
Oh, get focused. That's what
I agree.
Fair enough. All right, so I was on YouTube, right? And I came across this cat, and it was on the... I told you guys, Instagram has this new account called @music, and so they promote all of these upcoming artists. I found this dude. His name is Shamir, and the song is Darker, and just take a look. It's very... It went totally left for me, but it was dope.
Shamir.
What is that Neo name? Just shells
that is that him singing?
Mm-hmm.
But our souls flow.
He has a great voice.
Right.
But I don't know what he's saying.
But the love we leave is our legacy.
Okay, our legacy.
I heard that word.
So we'll keep it alive.
Keep it alive, okay. We're here in the last...
In our memory. Because it doesn't get darker unless you expect it to.
It doesn't get darker unless you expect it to.
It's getting harder.
Where's he from?
To contain the truth.
England.
It doesn't get... Unless you expect it to
match the words up.
Shamir. What are y'all thinking? Different, right?
It's the talent. Yeah,
it's good voice. I don't know what he's saying. You got to make out what he's saying, but good voice.
might need to listen back just to kind of get the...
What were you guys thinking about the beat, though? His voice on that type of a
track? I mean, I'll say what I like. I like the fact, you know, darker, you know, the darkest before the dawn, you know, you go through these dark times, but you know, the light will shine. Mm-hmm. So I kind of felt that, but like I said, I got to hear the words and kind of sit back and watch it again.
The production looked to be quality. I mean, like the video looked like it was a quality video. He didn't throw that together. He definitely invested some money and some capital into it. So the professionalism, I think his sound is kind of unique. I haven't really heard anybody sing a voice like that. So I mean, I would have to listen back just to get a better understanding. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Because even when it dropped into like the chorus part, I thought it was going to go up and it totally went down. I was like, all right, I'm with it though.
Yeah. There's a cool shirt he had on. What do they call those?
Dashikis,
yeah.
Boom. Right. All right. Mm. Masterpiece. Let's talk about
it's
it.
It's going to be a masterpiece.
Dietrich. You're on this journey right now with this masterpiece. And first of all, how are you feeling? How are you feeling? You've released it. You've had tremendous success with the album. Gotten some great.
You don't want to ask me that today.
Gotten some
I'm being
great
too
feedback.
Transparent today, man.
That's what we want. We want you to. We want you to be authentic in
man.
His light.
Y'all gonna get me in trouble, man. I think it's a wonderful thing. I love what I do. I have a passion for gospel music. And so I'm happy that it debuted at number one, hit number one, even though Kirk Franklin knocked me down this week. I'm feeling good about it. I just think that we have a lot of work to do in gospel music at large, in the genre. We have a lot of work to do, from radio to the artists, to the platforms. There's not a lot of platforms for gospel music to really display the music that's out there, you know, and a lot of times we in gospel music, we have to sit back and watch everybody else fulfill their dreams, you know, travel the world and sing, you know, on these major platforms, while we sit back and say, just as long as the Lord is, we serving the Lord and Jesus will make everything all right. I'm not for that.
Yeah, man. What is that with that?
Yeah.
I don't like it, man. I feel like if I work hard, if I'm great at what I do, then I deserve the same platform
exactly.
as anybody else. Exactly. Everybody's talking about Adele. She sold 2.9 million records in 2 days. I don't understand why we can't do it within the gospel music industry. But I understand the fight. I understand the battle that's before us. First of all, there's division among us. Yeah. We can't even get the brothers and sisters on one accord. You know, mm-hmm. while we're policing everybody and judging everybody else, we can't even get on one accord to support our very own. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, we got preachers attacking gospel singers because the beat is too hard for him, you know.
Yep.
You know, it's just a lot going on, man. I don't want to air it out here on Black Hollywood.
No, but that's
talk a little bit more about the battle, about the struggle of, you know, trying to. I mean, you're established and you have success.
Oh, man,
your success as well as somebody who wants to be in the gospel field and has the talent.
Right. Oh man, y'all listen, man. Somebody asked me the other day, you know, I want to be in the gospel music, and I said, you got to make sure that's a good business decision for you. You can serve God and preach the gospel. You don't have to make gospel music your career, because you have, before you get in it, you got to know the variables and the fight and the things, the odds that's stacked up against you, because you don't want to get in it and quit. Mm-hmm. Because you would very well get into the genre and quit because of the odds that are stacked up high against the fact that you're a gospel artist alone. It's automatically shutting doors. They don't want you because they don't want to turn their secular radio stations into a gospel station. Mm. They don't want you preaching and hollering and screaming on the on these mainstream platforms. So you got to make sure, first of all, it's a good deal for you. And number one should be, make sure God called you to it. Because if he called you to it, even when it gets tough, you'll still be in it. Mm. You'll fight for it. And that's me. God called me to it when I was 10 years old. Period. Nobody was around. I didn't have a hit song. I didn't have a TV show. Nobody was asking me to come to Black Hollywood Live. I was a kid, and I knew what God called me to do at 10 years old. That's why when it got tough, when I should have left, I did not leave, and I'm still in it. I had the opportunity to sign 4 times. I was signed to Arista Records. That was my first deal. My first record deal was with Arista, singing a complete R&B record. I did 20 songs. Tony Rich produced it. Tim and Bob, they had
Nobody
the,
knows
yes.
it.
Tony and Tim and Bob, before they blew up with the Thong Song and all that stuff, we did it. But I walked away from that deal, literally, because I felt like God spoke to me again. Now, I'm a teenager, and God's speaking to me again. Said, don't do it. This is what you're called to do. But if I sit here and act like everything was just hunky-dory and just smooth and easy, I wouldn't be doing you any justice, those that are watching.
Wow.
I believe that there's some walls that has to be torn down, some giants that has to be slain in order for gospel music to go where it needs to go, where people respect it in the culture, the way it should be respected.
Do you think that a lot of those barriers, sorry to cut you off, do you think a lot of those barriers are via the system of the industry? Do you think it's the artist, their choice of music? Do you think that the artists aren't hitting the demographics that may relate to the people? Or do you think it's more so media that won't allow the music?
Or black against black.
Pop, I think it's a little bit of all that.
Yeah.
But I will go to the core of it. I think it starts with the church system within itself. Yeah. If you go to church, I'm from Detroit, and if you go down Puritan Avenue, you will see a church on right across the street from each other, right next to each other. They're sharing parking lots, but they will not fellowship with one another. There is a spirit of division within the body of Christ that have crept into the gospel music industry. A lot of us, we're not friends. We're not collaborating like we should. Like, you see it all day with Drake and Future and all everywhere else. But in gospel, we don't do it, man. And it started from the pulpit. It started from the preacher saying, y'all don't go fellowship with them across the way because they don't believe in what we believe. We believe in baptizing in Jesus' name. Yet they believe in baptizing in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They believe you ought to be sprinkled to be baptized. They don't believe, you know. And it started in the minds of us as kids.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Then they tell you, you can't be free to be express yourself. You gotta, once you become a Christian, everybody look the same, everybody talk the same, everybody do the same dance, everybody's like zombies. So if you come out and be yourself, have a swag about yourself, they're looking at you like, what are you doing?
Why?
You see what I'm saying? So it's a lot. But I think it starts, me personally, it's my personal belief, it starts within the church. We have to change. We have to fellowship with one another. We have to celebrate the gifts that are in the body of Christ. We've ran some of the greatest singers out of the church. The Whitney Houstons, the you name it, Lauryn Hills, they were in church. Most of the hottest gospel artists, Aretha Franklin, they were in church first. But we told them, you can't sing if you don't sing about Jesus. If Jesus ain't in every lyric of your song, you can't. We won't accept you.
Right.
So they said, okay, bye. I'm going to make some money.
Because
you're telling me if I'm just, I want to sing about something. I want to sing about respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to sing. There's other things that I can sing about.
That's what, yeah, I agree with you there, man. I mean, I feel like music should be a reflection of life. You know
I'm
what
sorry,
I mean?
I'm
No, but in the 90s, I mean, we saw gospel had kind of been able to take a little bit of hold in pop culture, in pop music. And then there was a disconnect from it. And I feel like I always bring this up, but in the 90s, there were a lot of shows that were about family oriented. It was about the family. And then, I don't know why I wanted Nelly Hotton here for some reason, but around that time, I feel like everything started changing. I feel like family wasn't important anymore, and it became more of the world of the divorced parents.
BET Uncut.
It became up. Yep.
That was all.
What was the tip drill? What was that?
Tip drill.
So for you, where did you see that?
I couldn't believe I seen that. What in the world is he doing? Swiping the credit card? Jesus.
That disconnect in music. When would you say you saw that? Was that, I mean, when you were signing that about to sign that deal, and you know, what kind of feelings were you going through at that moment, struggling with, well, you know, I am a man of God, but they want me to, you know, I'm supposed to be singing this, but is that against what, you know, is within me?
Man,
the struggle of what people are going through today?
Man, it's been that way since I can remember, man. We celebrate people who live double lives, but yet we go and run and flock to buy their records, and while we're judging everybody else who's living their lives out in the open, and we won't support. I mean, man, I can go. I'm a PK, a preacher's kid. I've seen it all, man. I was born in the church. I have the authority to talk about church stuff. My mother had me from the pew. She took us straight to the hospital. So I can talk about it. But I don't want to cast a bad light on it because it's an important piece to the structure of the family. It's an important piece. But men have messed up.
I'm just, sorry, yes, we have.
We've messed up, man. And we've veered away from the Word of God. And if we stick with the way Jesus showed us, then we're good. Jesus loved everybody, man. He loved everybody. He sat with sinners. People, sinners were so comfortable with Jesus, with sharing, expressing themselves. He was so cool. He was a cool guy. Then he get up and he really had power to heal people. He wasn't no fake. He was a real deal. But he loved people where they were. He saw this woman at the well, and he said, "You got five husbands, and the one you're with right now ain't even yours, but I'm not concerned about that." He let her know, "Listen, I know your stuff, but that can be fixed. I want to introduce to you this love that will never end, or you can drink from a well that will never run dry. If we can figure that out, man, then if we can get back to Jesus, then we're good, man." But the disconnect has been a long, I can go on and on and on. I can take you deep in where the disconnect was.
And how are you connecting it with Masterpiece?
Well, with Masterpiece, man, I'm just being true to my journey. I can't speak for nobody else. I have to speak to my journey. And my journey, it hasn't always been easy. You know, it hasn't always been good, but it's always been God. I'm telling people that the ups, the downs, the mistakes, the failures, the good, the bad, the ugly, the joy, the pain, the betrayal, it all came together to create something beautiful. When I look in the eyes of my son, little Dietrich Haddon Jr., he's 3 months old. My two daughters and see where I am as a man and just my mindset, I could say, man, it's a masterpiece, what God was working, and I didn't realize it at the time. It didn't feel good when people were running me down and talking about me. My name was in the mud. It didn't feel good.
I mean, I remember reading, listening to your music and reading the articles about, your infidelity and you've been criticized and bashed and just ran through the mud. I mean, yeah. I know your faith got you through it, but as a human, just dealing with personal issues that you had to deal with, how were you able to just to maintain you put it all into your music or?
I put it all in the music. You can hear it all in the music. You can hear my passion and my voice. And I understand. I've had the privilege of traveling around the world early. So I understand that the 10 people that may not like you, there's 50 people that love you.
No, it's only a couple people
that's
out there.
That's true.
And it's only a few.
Right. In American culture, we magnify the negative. But really, if you really focus on it, it's more positive than negative.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So and I understand. Really I'm not a fool. I know the same people that's talking about me, they're going to find themselves in the same situation or something worse.
Yeah.
Maybe 10 years from now. Maybe 5 years from now. Maybe next week. So I just look at it and laugh. I just look at him and smile and say, you really going to take your time and dedicate to try to bash me when you know you're not perfect? I'm not the first person that went through this. I'm not the last person that's going to go through it. So I'm going to keep living my life, and I'll be laughing right at you while I'm working hard doing what God called me to do.
I mean, that is so crazy. So just to me or to anybody out there, just how did you stay strong in this business when you only got to deal with five haters and the rest is positivity, but you know you got the skill, you know you got the talent, you know you got the confidence, but it's just the demons or the mind or whatever just effing with you.
The truth of them is, man, I don't even know, man. Sometimes I scratch my head and say, how am I still here?
Right.
Why do I have still have this focus? Why? And then how do people, after all them running me down, that people still love me? People still buy my records, making my album number one. And only thing I can come up with is, that's my relationship with God. That's God rewarding me by making the right decisions through it all. I really feel like, fellas, it's a heart factor, man. God doesn't judge you based on people's opinions. He deals with you according to your heart. People can say all they want to say about you, but if your heart is right and you're trying your best to do what's right, God's going to always back you up. Period. If you can look, I can show you in the Bible, the list goes on and on. Look at David. He was anointed by God. Can't nobody take God away from King David. He was anointed to be king at 12 years old. Later on, he messed up, committed adultery, killed a man for a man's wife. It messed up really bad. But the one thing that he did, he said, Lord, he humbled himself and said, create in me a clean heart. Renew in me the right spirit. He had the right heart. Mm. sometimes good people can make bad decisions. Sometimes you can find yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time. Right. It's normal. It's human. You're going
to
make...
I can't believe you're saying this because I just told a girl the other day, she's like, what do you do with all the people I judge by heart? You don't know somebody. You got to judge by here because here and the actions, like, it's something really behind that. Why, you know, why are you being making these decisions? You got to look deeper
in a person, man,
rather than the outer surface. Oh, she's thoughting or he's this. Like, well, let's look. Maybe something went wrong.
Mm-hmm. There's a root to every situation, and that's why I love serving God. That's why I'm a Christian. I decided to be a Christian, not because I was born in it, because I found out for myself that God doesn't look on the outward appearance. He always looks on the heart.
I gotta give Poppy a hug real quick because I'm real emotional right now.
He always looks on the heart. You got that? He don't do what people do. God is not men. Mm-hmm. He's a God. God is a spirit, and each and every one of us, in whatever state that we're in, He loves us where we are. He knows when you had a situation in your life that made you make a certain decision.
Right.
He's a good judge. Mm. See, a good judge will understand. Get into the details. Know the facts before he comes to conclusions on you. That's a good judge. And that's the kind of God we serve. He judges you according to the facts, not by what people see. Usually what people see is the results, is a result of a situation that made you make a move.
Right.
And sometimes a move is not pleasing to everybody. It may not be pleasing to you, but you made the move because of something. It's a law of cause and effect. Mm. But see, a good judge pays close attention to the cause.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Amen, mm-hmm. brother. Amen.
That's a good judge.
Yes, it is.
And I'm glad I'm serving a good judge.
It's so funny because I was walking my dog one day, and a couple years ago, and that's why I started wearing this bracelet. But I started thinking, I was listening to music, and just music was sounding, this was actually not a couple years ago, like last year, and all the music was just sounding the same, and I find myself, in hosting a music show, I find myself a lot of the times driving and shutting all of the music off. Mm. It's just the new stuff. I'm going back to like 80s, 90s. And I started thinking about like my niece, my nephew, and him growing up in this generation. And we talk about icons and like how you were saying, we put these double-lifed people on a pedestal. And it blows my mind that, you know, whether you're Jewish, whatever your religion or spiritual beliefs is, to just have an understanding of who Jesus was as a human being. Let's take the,
yes, take
let's
all the religion
take
out.
The religion out of it. Just who he was, what he represented.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you want to fall underneath that type of shadow? Why wouldn't that be the goal of who we want to be as a community, as a human being, right. Period. Mm-hmm. How I had left the church, mm-hmm. came back to it in nature with that thought. And, you know, I found my own spirituality within that and got
back. Are you still out of the church?
Nope, got back into the church.
Okay.
But I had to get over those negative
all that stuff
feelings and really realizing how much from the outside takes you away from church.
Mm.
Yeah. Whether it's listening to music,
what would Jesus do, basically?
Mm. Yeah, and I had to learn that, my bad, to even cut you off. I had to learn that even in my maturity. That's dealing with church or anything, man, you can't really like allow another man to influence the decisions you make. That's a childish thing to do, you know. As you get older, you start to understand like it's my decision. I have to live with the consequences. Yep. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's like the youth is out of control right now, and we have a platform and a voice. We can definitely like
everyone's out of control because I look at the elders and a lot of them are stubborn and they don't want to help the younger generation because they should know. True. They should do this. We taught you. We did this. Okay, well they're not learning. They're not changing. They're not grooving in that direction. So what do we do now? And that's why I appreciate you going on reality TV. And I know you got a lot of slack from it, but at the end of the day, you did it with a smile and you instead of attacking back, it was a hand. Out. It was come show your life. Come do what I'm doing because I'm not perfect. I'm not this, but just here I am. Here I am. Yes. Look at me. Tear me down. Honesty. Whatever. If you want to say I'm this horrible person, you know, but I'm a man of God and we all make mistakes. And I appreciate you taking that in a world where we do have love and hip hop and certain things on television where it does kind of you get it in your face so much that we don't have the other side of it. And you are delivering the other side of that. And just thank you for.
Bless you, man.
Holding
thank you so
that.
Much.
And
that's encouraging.
Thing, gospel rap.
Mm-hmm.
Can that be a platform?
Absolutely.
It is a platform.
I'm saying, like, Can there be a Drake of God? I know Lecrae's doing his thing.
Lecrae, he's doing it big. I mean, he's the number one on all of Billboard when he came out with this record. So you got to give a shout out. The Truth is doing a really good. Yes, there's a platform for it, and I think people are gravitating to it. I personally want it to be more.
Okay, that's like what I'm looking for. I'm a huge fan. I really want to embrace it more, but I need. I think that you're about to say it.
I need the authenticity.
There you go. Mm.
Yeah,
I need. Like, I'm a fan of Jay-Z's. I listen to the
Scarface,
Rick Ross,
all of them.
Rick Ross, Kanye West. I listen to it, and what I appreciate from those guys is they're giving it to you straight from.
Yeah.
Where they came from. It's like straight from the heart. So that's why it makes that connection. I think there's still some, there's a place for gospel rap, but I just feel like they got to find that spot. They got to find that place.
Exactly. That's what I wanted. That's what I was looking for. Go ahead.
No, it has to be, like, I agree with you. It has to be a level of honesty with any artistry. Otherwise, it's not going to cut through. It's not going to connect.
I'm sorry. When you hear Jesus in the rap, it's like, come tell me how you grew up.
Where you from?
I know you. I know this gospel rap, but it don't have to be soul like that. You can be tell your story.
Yeah, and I'm big on originality. Right. Like, come with your own style. Don't be a copy of. That I don't like that, man. So I would rather listen to the real than somebody trying to be, you know.
Right.
Well, me too. And we got to wrap this up.
Wow.
But,
man, this is good. We didn't even talk about
Caitlyn Jenner yet.
Caitlyn Jenner.
Whoa.
See?
But I want to hear the real authentic thing. And I know you was going to do something special for us and sing one of your singles, Running.
Let me see what my voice is doing.
Sound good.
All right, let's see what's going to happen here.
All right. So we're going to put, so this is a song, Running. Tell us about Running.
Running is actually what we've been talking about, man. I was when I went through that situation, I had a baby out of wedlock, wasn't divorced quite yet. I found myself on the club floor, drunk, man, out of it, right? And I did it on purpose, though. Like, I had hit songs in gospel, people knew who I was, but I was on the floor of the club.
I just find that so amazing for something you had to hide early on that was so open to talk about.
I think what happened was, you know, it's a lot that happened, but I want to say this. While I was literally in that space, drunk, I heard God's voice again. Like I heard when I was 10, like I heard when I was a teenager, and said, how long are you going to run? Because this is not you. It's everybody else. They can do it. I'm not.
Man.
But this is not you. You doing something. That's why you can't even control it. You can't even hold your liquor.
Man.
I can't even hold it. Because that's not me. But I was so angry and so out of it, man, that I was just like, I knew they were going to run me down. I knew people were going to talk about me.
Later.
I said, okay, I'm just going to forget it. They can talk about me. I'm going to give them something to talk about. And I did it all, man. I was at strip clubs. I was doing everything you could possibly think of.
Yeah, we was in
everything
Vegas,
but drugs. Huh?
No,
all right. Well, all right. So here's Dietrich Haddon with Running.
Yeah. You can keep running. Oh, you're running. You're running. You're running. Deep down inside, you can hear God's voice calling you, even through all of the noise, telling you it's time to make a choice. You know it's something you cannot avoid. And you wonder why it's so hard to find joy. You be feeling frustrated, feeling annoyed. And even though you got money like Mayweather Floyd, you can't box with God, I'm telling you, boy.
Hands up, fellas, if you will.
Hey, freestyle, get that freestyle on deck.
Yo, that was everything.
Y'all, I ain't sang in 3 days, Doc. Y'all hear my voice for the first time after 3 days of not singing.
That's a Black Hollywood Live exclusive.
That's explosive, man. That's fire.
And you done gave the Black word of the Hollywood. Day.
We've been preaching and singing.
You sure did.
So basically, no sex before marriage, right?
Well, no, I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it.
Just gotta make sure.
Stop it.
Question.
Some think you should test drive the car before you take it off the lot, but I don't recommend it.
That's what the girls keep saying.
I don't recommend it.
I don't recommend it.
I fell short, but I don't recommend it for you.
Yeah, this
is not good for you, man.
I noticed that you're wearing
no sex. No.
The giving a giving key.
In the champagne room, what you say?
And it's fight.
Giving key, man.
And so with the story of these is that so you pick something, right? A word, and you have to work on that word, and then when you feel like you've accomplished from it, you give it. So yours is fight.
I've been fighting. I don't think I've accomplished it yet. Mm. I'm still fighting. I think it's a never-ending battle.
True.
So I'm going to rock this for a minute before I give it. Pass it on.
Yeah, all right, Dietrich, so the album is out right now, available everywhere.
Everywhere, in stores, everywhere, online, everywhere. It's called Masterpiece. It's the number one. Well, it was number one last week, but this week, I don't know what we're doing. But it's
Who's
a beautiful
it?
Album. It's a beautiful album. It's all me, man. It's all me.
And sure. When are we going to get some videos?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We just... put the finishing touches on the new video.
Okay. Well, for which song? Be Like Jesus?
Be Like Jesus, okay. And Running, actually.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, DJ, thank you for stopping by. And where can everyone follow you on social media?
It's all love.
And Periscope, because you've been Periscoping.
I know.
I'm Periscoping.
I'm Periscoping right now. Yeah. Y'all can hit me up on Periscope, Twitter. I got the blue check there.
Yep.
Facebook got the blue check there. It is I.
Boom.
On Instagram, it's D Hattie. Y'all can't miss me. I'm out here, man.
Absolutely not. Thank you for stopping by. Make sure you guys hit us up everywhere at BHL Online on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Also, hit us up on Instagram at TheBeatTV. You guys can hit me up everywhere at social media at DJ Jesse J.
Follow me at Poppy Watts, P-A-P-I Watts, W-A-T-T-S. I'm out here. Go get that masterpiece.
At Cameron Penny on IG. It'll take you to my whole world. Thank you for Dietrich for coming on.
Man,
no
anytime.
Sex,
anytime.
Baby. I'm going to virgin.
When you get married, just have your way. Just do whatever you want to do. All types of ways. Just enjoy yourself.
Boom. Masterpiece in store. Have a happy holiday, y'all. Till next time. Peace.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
You return to
music redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.